What's up? This is Boovies on Up, and it's October, our favorite month of the year. So sit back, join us month long as we talk about a lot of horror movies.
What's up? This is Boovies on Up. We are rounding the corner, headed for home on our list of the top 50 greatest horror movies of all time. Today, we're going to run 15 through 11, and to help me do that is the Nick Frost to my Simon Pegg. That's Mr. Dave Bissella.
Yes.
that's a great Nick Frost impression.
We're like 3 weeks into this month, in the last like hour, I'm burnout.
That's a super energetic Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up. I suspect that Dave's going to pick up the energy just a little bit when we start talking about these movies. As we've mentioned, really from 49 up, I've really liked all these movies. And it just gets, I mean, I'm more excited to talk about the next movie, the next movie, the next movie. 15, I think, is fantastic. It's from a director that we've already, no, I don't think he's
we haven't.
That's fascinating.
We'll talk about him again, but we haven't talked about him yet.
Oh, we're going to talk about him a couple more times, and that is George Romero. The first movie that we have on our list is from 1978. It's Dawn of the Dead, starring Ken Foray, Scott H. Reniger, and Galen Ross. Gordon Gekko said that greed is good, but in Romero's world, greed makes us no better than the mindless, consuming, all-consuming walking corpses that stalk our heroes through the Monroeville Mall. In terms of zombie movies, this is an all-timer. It's a subgenre that Dave and I both like an awful lot, and there's a lot of examples of Romero at his finest, but I think this is, if I was going to show somebody a Romero zombie movie, this would be the first one I'd show them.
I think this is a better gateway.
Yes.
It's not the best of his zombie movies.
Nope.
We might get to that later.
I think we will.
But I think it's a better gateway, not just because it's in color.
It's easier to watch.
It's easier to watch. There's a lot more to it. You go from a house to a mall, but you still have that human element where who's the real bad guys? Who do we need to be more scared of?
Right.
You have another black lead at a time when, unless it was a blaxploitation movie, you didn't really have a lot of black leads unless it was Sidney Poitier. So he did a lot, and Romero was always very socially conscious, and this is of his filmography. I believe this one I would say is the most socially conscious.
This one or the other one that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, they both are.
Taking on different subject matter.
They're 1A and 1B, I think. I just feel like this one's more prevalent, maybe.
It's easier to see, I think. You don't really, well, we'll get into it. But yeah, I mean, Dawn of the Dead is a fantastic movie, and it's only number 15 on the list. Number 14 might be a little bit of a surprise. It is a Japanese horror movie. It is one of the, at least the American remake is one of the more famous of that J horror remake string that had come out. But in 2002, Ju-on came out in Japan, directed by Takeshi Shimizu, starring Megumi Okina, Masaki Ito, and Misa Yuihara. Without a doubt, Ringu paved the way for movies like this to not only succeed in America, but to get their Western remakes. And the creepy kid motif in this, which is a thing in horror movies. I mean, it's
especially in that genre.
Certainly that genre. I mean, it's, you know, the creepy kid in Pet Sematary, the creepy kids in Children of the Corn, which, you know, this is the only mention you're going to get of Children of the Corn, spoiler alert. But kids are creepy. Kids can be creepy. It's why I don't have any. Cause
a movie called The Children from, I think it was a Blumhouse movie a few years ago that was really good. Way better than had any right to be. Really good, though.
Yeah. Kids are scary. I don't need any of them waking me up in the middle of the night.
I don't need that. That's why I lock them out.
But again, what I like a lot about these Japanese horror movies, we mentioned a bit with Ringu, is that there's that element of folklore to them. I think it was last year, was it, that we did our favorite scary stories to tell in the dark?
I think that was 2 years ago.
Or maybe
ago.
It was 2 years ago, yeah. And those are all collected stories from folklore, the stories that we grew up on, to see them on the big screen. Obviously, we didn't grow up with these Japanese folklore tales, but I think that's what kind of makes them so good, is that they've been the stories have been refined over the years, and they're just put in, you know, a different medium at that point.
Last year, we did Adultergeist.
Oh, yes. That was a scary story that you wrote. Yeah. So, Adultergeist. Look that one up.
Ringu kicked it off. It's hard to talk about them without talking about the American remake. But, you know, there was this. There was Pulsu. There was, I don't think that's the real name of it, but there was the Dark Water one with, like, there was a bunch of them in this time frame.
Yeah. But, I mean, for what it's worth, I liked The Grudge. I liked the remake. I thought it was pretty good.
I think it's similar to The Ring.
They swapped out a scary boy for a scary girl.
Yeah. I think The Grudge is competent. It's good. Mm. Ju-on's much better.
Yes.
Whereas Ringu, really, really good. The Ring, okay.
Yeah.
The same. Like, it's hard to talk about Ju-on without talking about The Grudge. Yes. It's hard to talk about Ju-on without talking about Ringu. So we got them all. Checked them all off. J-horror remake, bingo. Check.
Our number 13 is from a guy that I like an awful lot, and I think Dave just tolerates my fanboyism of Dario Argento, and any list of mine for horror movies would be woefully incomplete without 1977's Suspiria, starring Jessica Harper, Stefano Cassati, and Flavio Bucci. This is the first and the best of Argento's Three Mothers trilogy, which he just wrapped up a couple years ago with The Mother of Tears, which kind of bored me to tears. But when Argento is on, Suspiria and Inferno specifically, he's as visual of a horror director as you're ever going to find. And he's got a great ear for a really suspenseful score. And Goblin did the score for Suspiria. And it's synth. Like, it's creepy synth before synth became, like, a thing. And we talked about Dawn of the Dead. I think it's fascinating that we have these two movies so close together, because Argento did work a lot on Dawn of the Dead with Romero. He kind of cut together the European version of that movie, which featured more of the score from Goblin, but that's kind of how well he was thought of by one of the greatest to ever do it, was Argento, who was himself was probably much better known for, like, his slashers, the Gaio, the suspense slasher style in Italy, than maybe the straight horror. But I think this is a fantastically, beautifully shot horror movie that I really like.
Yeah, I think Argento is one of those names where if you're thinking a top horror list, like, how does he not get represented? He is. I think there's really only one director that didn't make our top 50 who will come up in a different list, in a bonus list at some point. But, I mean, you can't. How do you do it without representing Argento?
You don't do it well, in my opinion. We talked about American remakes being not as good as the original foreign movies. I think the remake for our number 12 was very good because it's a shot-for-shot remake, yeah, basically, of Thomas Alfredson's 2008 Let the Right One In, starring Carrie Hedderbrandt, Lena Leanderson, Per Rengar. There's a ton to unpack with this one, but at a time when vampire movies were basically a dime a dozen, this one, I think, was able to kind of cut through that noise with the realization that even in children, we're not that much different or better than the monsters that we're afraid of. You got one sick little kid that's doing it because he's kind of sick, and the other one because he's a vampire.
It's such a good movie. And I think Let Me In was really, really good. Matt Reeves is a fantastic director. It didn't hit so well here because I think it was so head-on. Like, it's not your mainstream. It's not Lost Boys. It's not like a vampire action movie. It's a slow character study of children, pretty much. But Let Me In was so, so good. Let the Right One In. It's hard to say. I don't compare it to Ringu and The Ring, where I think The Ringu was so good. The Ring wasn't as good, but it was good. I think they're pretty damn close.
Level, yeah.
They're very, very close. And the biggest knock on Let Me In is that it's the exact same movie, just done in English.
A couple years later.
Yeah, but it was so good that you didn't have to change it. They didn't Americanize it, other than the location. And visually, stylistically, like, tone-wise, Reeves nailed it. And I loved it. And I love the original. So, yeah. I mean, I'm talking more about Let Me In than Let the Right One In. But it does transition nicely into a bonus list of our favorite horror remakes. Let Me In is a great example. It's just one of those, not really a reboot or a reinvigorating of it. It's just a straight-up remake. But then some of the others, The Blob, we talked about already.
Yeah.
I love the 88 Blob. I thought it was good. The Fly, Mm-hmm. That made your list. Didn't really make the 50.
The Cronenberg one did.
The Cronenberg one, yeah. It's
the remake.
The remake is very, very good. I like the Jessica Biel Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but when you compare it to the original, like, it doesn't come close to it. On its own, if you've never seen the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, probably a really good horror movie. I rag on Zack Snyder a lot. The Dawn of the Dead remake was fun, mostly because it was written by James Gunn, who I have praised as a screenwriter. It still lacks everything that made the original Dawn of the Dead great, but as just a popcorn zombie movie, it's good. I liked Piranha 3D. I thought it was fun. It took a ridiculous idea for a movie, upped the ridiculousness. I didn't like the sequel, but I really liked Piranha 3D. I thought it was a lot better than it should have been and really, really good.
And I happen to like 3DD.
I did not.
So we've got one more movie for this episode, and it shouldn't come as a surprise. We've kind of teased it already. We teased it last week as one of Dave's all-time favorites, and then I threw out a big hint at the top with it stars Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. It is Edgar Wright's Shaun of the Dead from 2004. We're going to have a couple more horror comedies even further up the list in our top 10, but none of those movies do a better job with their characters than Wright does here. You care about everyone, and there is an actual sense of danger amongst all the buffoonery.
There are consequences. Yes. There are stakes. Edgar Wright is one of my favorite directors. I when I think of directors who have filmography, I love everything. Him and Matthew Vaughn are the only two that come to mind, and they're very similar. But what separates Edgar Wright apart is he's one of my favorite screenwriters. Edgar Wright's scripts are amazing, and everything comes back. It all comes full circle. This one has everything. The characters matter. The deaths matter. The gags are good. The running jokes. Like, just the scene of them walking by the other survivors where they're all, like, doppelgangers. So funny. The scene with the Queen and the pool sticks, like, how choreographed it is. It's so good. This was number 3 on my list. When I made a list of my top 40 horror movies, this was number 3. That's how strongly I feel about it. I love this movie. This is one of those that... it's not just a top 3 horror movie for me. It's probably a top 10 ever movie for me. And there's a couple other movies in the rest of the list that I would put even higher than that. So that's how stoked I am to kick into our top 10 next week.
Yeah, and just kind of looking at 10 through 6, they're all great from here. They really are. And I think most of the names, like, you're going to be kind of familiar with. We're not really reaching into left field. These are ones that if you've been trying to play along at home and guess what's going to be coming, I think you got a pretty good shot of, well, realistically, guessing at least one of the movies next week. Although it was much, much higher. It was my number 1. We get to...
my number 2 is also next week, sitting at number...
9.
9, yeah.
Yeah, I could tell. So if you know a little bit about Dave and I, you ought to be able to figure out a couple of the movies that are coming next week. They are in our top 10, so at this point, they're all Hall of Famers. But to find out what those two movies are and the rest of our top 10, you're going to have to stick around with us and come back next episode. But until then...
keep it up.